Finally, I'll tell you about the worst job I ever had in my life.
You're listening to the Moose Turd Cafe.
Was working for
warm up.
For the was it the Santa Fe? Yeah, it was the Santa Fe Railroad south of Las Vegas, Nevada. Yeah, that's the old Mormon Muddy Mission, you see. It's way out in what the Navajos call the boonies. You know, out in the desert. Now, the job was Gandhi dancing. Now, Gandhi dancing used to be in the old days. Gandhi dancing was when the Irish were building the railroad. Of course, the first transcontinental railroad was built by Irish laborers. And they used these long-handled shovels called Irish banjos that were made by the Gandhi Shovel Company of Chicago. Now, the Irish laborer would take the wide end of the shovel when he could find it, and he would jam it in under a rail or a tie, and he would climb out on the long handle, do a little jig step out there, and that would lever the tie up or the rail up, and you push gravel in underneath it and tamp it down, and that levels the roadbed. See, that's what Gandhi dancing is. Leveling the roadbed so the damn train doesn't fall off as it goes by, which is just a big drag for everybody. Now, they don't do Gandhi dancing the normal way anymore, see. Like they did in the old days. Nowadays, they run three cars out on the line. They run a box car out there that's a bunk car. You sleep in it. Got bunks in there 18 inches apart. And then you got a tool car with your tamping irons and your tongs and your double jack hammers and spikes and all of that equipment, see, to do the job. And then you got a cook car. I mean, there's no restaurants anyplace around, so you got a cook car. Pots and pans and a coal or wood-burning stove and a long table down the middle to eat at. Only thing they don't hire is a cook. That's because they're cheap. Saves them money. The rule is that in that crew, they're supposed to pick among their own members who's going to be the cook. Now, they don't try to do it sensibly, like draw lots or decide who the best cook is. What they do is they wait and find out who bitches and whines and pisses and moans the most about the cooking. And they say, all right, wise guy, you think you can do better, you get to be the cook. Well, that was me, see. Old alligator mouth. The new man on the crew, and that was the worst food I'd ever had. I mean, it was dog bottom pie.
Dog bottom pie, right on the mark here, my brother.
Terrible, terrible stuff.
Some people might think it's a delicacy. Morning, Eastern Pat Handle.
Hold on, let me...
complain. They said, all right, wise guy, you get to be the...
Hold on, let me stop, Utah Phillips here for just a second. There you go. Hey, it's a Mike Diesel, I think, is calling in here from the farm. I hope he's still got heart and soul together. And
good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Moose Turd Cafe with your original host and dusty-footed philosopher fella, John Case. Today's date is November 16th. It's Thursday. We're at just about 6:30 a.m. in the morning. Our call-in line here is 304-885-0708.
That's right.
And joining John on the program is
Mike Diesel. I don't need that.
By the way, everybody, this show is currently not sponsored and no one's listening. What a bunch of losers.
Actually, the count is 14, actually.
Wow, that guy's a dick.
Anyway, we'll see. I'll see whether it changes. I got the lock. This morning I turned the live one on. We'll see whether we either gain or lose as we go along. Anyway, it's like our friends.
Like my diet.
Well, JB's been tuning in, you know. He said we had him just, you know, he practically injured himself again, falling out of his chair laughing the other morning about the one of them, you know, I don't know. So we got him anyway.
We aim to please, Moose Turd and all. We aim to...
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, I saw JB yesterday, and he's, he's recovering pretty good, but he's still pretty lame, you know, from the hip surgery. So.
Yeah, that's a long process, man, and we wish him nothing but the best. I'm sorry I couldn't make it over. I was still wrestling with drywall. Drywall, baseboards, some tile work, a lot of different stuff going on.
You know, your bathroom sounds a little bit like the Trump presidency.
Oh, come on now.
Now here, and let me just let me shape this up.
I'm not even going to go there.
You were talking about how, you know, it was taking way too much mud to get something to hang together. Right? Weren't you talking about this?
It was a problem with a wallpaper border that I despised.
Right.
I begin to hate this border. Each and every day that I would
go to my bathroom and brush my dentures
or, you know, use the facilities or wash my hands or whatever, I'd look at this border and go, that is just...
Okay, but I want to finish. I know, and it's my metaphor.
And then it began to talk to me.
Again, taunt me.
You're proving my point.
You're proving my point.
Exactly.
You're proving my point. Here we have a presidency that just was supposed to be made of materials that are supposed to shape up, but it's not. It keeps drooping. It keeps sagging. It keeps turning into something that will never set. It's mud.
Hey, John. Can you hold on a second? I'm really thirsty. I'm going to get some water. I'm going to have to put the phone down because I need two hands to drink it. Asshat.
I see there's, you know, other psychiatrists that are coming out and suggesting that the president is a lunatic.
Yeah, he is. He is completely nuts. Just a pathetic, broken old man.
I don't know what the hell's going on. Anyway, we got...
We don't know.
Well, we had a major defection.
You don't know either.
We had a major defection either. Yesterday on the Republican side on the tax bill, so that's quite helpful.
The Wisconsin side.
Ron Johnson of Wisconsin became the first to oppose Susan Collins, Bob Corker, and McCain are also, you know, big question.
You know what, John? Don't worry about it, because here in District 12,
it doesn't. Nothing applies.
Shelley's cut the deal with our potential overlord. Chinese overlord.
Right. You saw how Puerto Rico was treated. Look at we're going to be better than that.
You always talk to me about this nonsense. Who doesn't love a 12 to 14 hour day? Who doesn't love a 7-day work week? I am, for one, looking forward to being side by side with you building Nikes in the soon to be plant that's
going to be built
somewhere here in Jefferson County. That or iPhones.
The Chinese have installed a nuclear installation in West Virginia.
I am so, you know, and those first Hunger Games are going to be the best Hunger Games, and I'm looking forward to that. I really am.
I know, really.
So, because I'm probably going to go quickly.
Well, maybe. I think Susan Collins was
a special ability with a blade. I'll be gone rather quickly.
Susan Collins was saying that putting the little baby into the pile of shit was a little too much for her. You know, like we were talking yesterday, the health care.
They're putting health care back on the table again, and these guys can't help themselves. They cannot help them. You know, they just can't.
I wish they could I'm afraid that they don't have any problem unzipping their fly, though, for teenage
Forgive
girls.
Forgive me for using this again. We don't like to do this all the time, but... People on the other side, I must tell you, you have been mind fucked.
How does it feel? Oh. You know, some people can get off on just about any kind of effing, you know.
Just a general overall dose of awfulness and horror every day.
I know. That's why we're, 4 women accuse Moore as campaign pushes back, but I think he's done. I think he's toast.
I'm beginning to think
that he's not going to make it because it shouldn't really surprise you.
It shouldn't really surprise anyone.
No, it shouldn't surprise us at all. But the fact that it's gone as far as it is a national embarrassment.
The problem is his name's going to be on the ballot, and there's a very real possibility that he'll win. And the Alabama Republicans met in an emergency session last night and gave their full support. And that has to be brought up every moment of every day.
Right.
now until the end of time.
Right.
That has to be brought up all the time. You are so cultishly programmed that you're going to look away from this hippo-Christian bullshit. This man is nothing but a serial predator.
You're talking about Judge Roy.
You're not going to get anything done. He's not going to get anything done for you. Nor will anyone want. Does anyone want to be seen in a meeting with this asshat? No.
Did you see his little baby cowboy hat he wears around like he was some kind of serial killer?
Seen that before.
Yeah, right. It's a shame.
To quote the late, great former NFL football coach, Denny Green, they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Well, it's... I don't know.
I'm hoping we don't let him off the hook. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think he needs to have a reckoning.
This story continues to be there's another story that's not getting enough attention that a blogger who has never tried a case before in his 30s that's just been approved by the Judicial Committee, all Republicans, waved him right through to be a federal judge. And he was who are you going to call? He was a paranormal, the study of paranormal activity. He's tweeted about, he talked about Sandy Hook and said, man up. He's been linked to white supremacist groups. This guy is a...
And you know, when I take over, it's going to be totally different. I'm going to require that there'll be no cabinet secretary who has not had a personal conversation with Mescalito.
Wow.
Did I ever tell you how Mescalito appeared to me? He appeared to me.
You have a lot of experience in software, right? You have a lot of software.
I do.
Programming.
Yes,
right?
I do. Yes.
Well, you know what you'd be perfect for? Psychoanalysis. Come on over here and...
Well, of course.
Your psychiatry would be the best psychiatry, is what I'm saying.
You need a new set of interface functions.
And known, well-known doctor and friend of this show and friend of this network, Dr. Zaki McGill, would be excellent at programming. I think he should be in charge of cybersecurity.
I know. We really should.
But I'm making a greater point here.
He's putting completely unqualified people.
He didn't disclose the fact that his wife is the... is the chief of staff for the White House Counsel.
Yeah, see, it's just it's a clubby little thing. You know, he don't give, you know, his lack of respect for the government is just it's just stunning, really. I mean, he doesn't give a
yep.
shit.
Well, lack of respect for anything.
I mean, all government, these institutions, you know, why do we need a Department of Education? Who gives
what
a fuck?
What is that
you know?
All about? I don't understand.
You know, it's just...
Well, because you don't understand it, that means you have to destroy it?
Well, of course. What else can we see? We see what we see. I mean, it's right in front of us. So,
as I said to the man,
Dr. Lecter, yes.
I said to him prior to plunging my blade in his carotid artery, "You're right in front of me."
Oh, good Lord, that was a bit. Aggressive, Dr. Lecter.
Wow, he's never been that. Yeah, he's usually a little soft-spoken, but I guess not this morning.
I guess he wanted to have a big, you know, stream of blood there coming, you know. So,
well, I'm certain he has the tools to make something out of it. It's
right, right.
I'm certain somehow, some way, it's going to wind up in a pie.
Well, it looks like Robert Mugabe, former dictator of Zimbabwe, or at least alleged dictator, I don't know what he really was, he has been declared completely senile. And it turns out his wife was running the government, and the generals didn't like that. So
now there's been a... the military has taken over Zimbabwe.
So anyway, I don't know, you know, how much is going to change on the everyday Zimbabwe life, but
listen, I'm just here's what I'm going to say. All right,
but you're in trouble, buddy. Again,
I know. I get it. All right, okay. I'm just going to say this one more time. I am staying the hell out of the media. You're the only guy I call, man.
I'm glad you do, Bill. I mean,
I
forgave you. I forgave you years ago. Okay.
I had a serious problem. I had to take care of it, and I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna go run and hide now. See
you. Okay, probably a good idea for a while there until the wind blows over here.
Whew, man, I don't know that it will.
Oh.
Do you know what's been awakened? Do you have any idea? No, you do not. But watch this.
I think the... it's interesting. I think that over time, the introduction of women into the modern workforce and... very large numbers and professions.
I forget the young lady's name, but I give a lot of credit to Rachel Maddow for introducing her nationally. So the young lady's 24 years old that took over the entire Democratic State Party in Oklahoma, and she is 5-0.
Well, let me finish my thought, though, here, because I was making more of an economic point than a political one.
Okay, well, I was trying to follow up with your point about...
You were, and that fits, except that I was sort of headed in a more economic direction. I think that we've had two or three generations now where women were working in the commercial labor market, you know, in very large numbers, especially after World War II, right? And... And that sort of just has gradually grown. And I think that that's what ultimately has caused this repeated challenge to, patriarchal type traditions, okay, that, you know, arose because of the division of labor in the 19th and 18th centuries, okay? And, because the division of labor has a lot to do with people's attitudes, you know, about who does what and who says what and all that. I mean, it's just,
that attitude, you're right, has been patriarchal for quite some time.
It has, and now it just doesn't work in a workforce where you're supposed to get the potential out of everybody, okay, if you can. That's what's going to determine your, ultimately that determines your productivity.
And you want motivated employees of every race, creed, color, nationality, whatever you want to say,
to work
together to accomplish things. And I think, to me, a happier, more motivated workplace is a more dynamic workplace.
There's the whole business of sexual moralities and sexual roles and all that. I mean, yeah, man, there has to be a shift a little bit. So, you know, you're not, pinching people's asses all day long in the office or whatever you're doing, you know. I mean, and assaults and however bad it gets. But, I mean, there's a certain culture that you can't get work done if you're, you know, resisting all day, proposals to go have sex, right? I mean, it becomes very difficult, you know. So, but nonetheless, you got to have a workplace where everybody can walk around and you know, cooperate, you know, supposedly. So,
well, you know, as we've said in many marketplaces and many any job out there, the job itself requires someone to focus. And to add that additional element, especially if it's happening on a consistent basis, It's negative. It's negative to you. It's negative to them. It's negative to the bottom line. That person doesn't look forward to getting up and going to work. They just know they have to. And it shouldn't be that way.
Well, but anyway, I think that's where the challenge is coming. So I think you're right. There will be some permanent changes that sort of shift in as gender roles have shifted. And every generation, you know, reproduces itself in totally new and a different way. So I wouldn't. Who knows what's permanent, right? You know. So anyway. We may move to a matriarchal system of some sort at some point. Who knows, right?
Fine with me.
Well, I mean, you know, the theory that sort of I'm putting out there to drive that I guess driving this current thing is, in fact, that well, you can't have you really can't have any archies, or at least not like that, sectarian ones anyway, and you got to have a way to manage this cooperation of different cultures and styles and stuff. It's this gigantic challenge. Looks like the Chinese are fully engaged. We're limping along with they're supposed to send a real human being to these meetings, and we send a dead fish. Hey, I got something to stink up this table.
Yeah, throw this on the table. It'll be great. Bring these charts in. Show me. Where'd you get those? Breitbart. Oh, okay.
Authoritative source. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be.
Right.
They now know that I am not going to take it anymore. I'm thirsty.
Hey, where's Rush with his big suppositories there for the press? Hi, Rush. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, I am very displeased that a lot of my sponsors have left my show. And then they went over to Sean Hannity's show, and they're leaving his show now. So I am, honestly, I believe they may actually go to the Moose Turd Cafe.
Well, we'll accept all contributions. I personally have sent a letter to Xi Jinping suggesting that we would be a formidable asset for them in their West Virginia adventure.
Formidable!
Sirree, man. You know, your enemies come down you. The attack dogs here are going to go after you. Hey, you don't like the yellow man? Huh. Be careful. They have a weather machine.
Hey, wait a second.
Whoa,
they have nothing to do with China.
I'm sorry.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
You know, spread word like that.
I'm so sorry.
Make me have to call in and talk you down off your ridge.
Yes, okay, well, thank you. I mean, I was getting
get
out there.
Get off my ridge now!
Oh, okay.
No one in the world have a weather machine except a Kim Jong-un.
oh, my God. Okay. All right, okay. Only
you're
one.
You're such a dumbass.
I am. And
screw you, Seth Rogen. I'm going to kick your ass.
You know.
You're not funny.
Oh, come on now.
Seth Rogen, not.
Why don't you send me your favorite jokes, Kim?
Oh, okay. I'm funnier than you anyway. Well, I'm funnier than you in four languages. Bye!
Bye.
Wow.
That guy is nuts, man.
That was some racist bullshit right there.
It's, well, nonetheless, I think the weather machine idea is one of the best ones you've ever come up with. That's great. I don't know where'd
Thank
you get
you.
That. That's great, man.
Yeah, wind.
young man.
Oh, damn. Shoo. God, lolly, molly, bollypop. You've been pulling a fat one on us there, Gov, haven't you? Yes, you have.
We're going to get some
Because
you know me.
You done did it again?
I got what's going on.
Now, exactly what did you give to China in exchange for this?
Man, that done none of your business. I'm working out the memorandum of understanding, and I'm having a hard time understanding it myself, but I'm certain
it says that you're part of China now.
Shut up and let me finish, boy.
No, I don't shut up on this program. It's my program. You can go shit in your hat.
Oh, my leg. It's got the gout. Oh, goodness. Okay. Wow.
He's gone.
Yeah, he disappeared again. I don't know what that was about. I can't even.
I like the way he dies on the program every morning. And
well, I don't know that it's death. I think it's some form of suspension due to
inability to take a dump.
Well, there's no. It's a really horrible apnea, and he won't. I don't think he'll get a CPAP machine. It's really bad. And they have really good modern CPAP machines now.
Well, he's sure been walking around with this big old deal in his pocket.
Well, you think he's going to trade out the New Orleans Saints for the Chinese mining company?
I don't know.
For the Greenbrier?
I don't know what he's going to do. Obviously, the Greenbrier is going to be getting some business.
He's just fascinating.
They'll probably be fully booked for 10 years.
The construction of Century City Trump Tower in the Philippines is full bore, man.
Well, okay.
It is green-lighted, baby.
I don't know, man. It's getting to be too much. It's too much.
It's too much, baby. You know it's too much.
By the way, the Senate is trying to figure out a way to keep Trump's hand off the nuclear button. But I don't think the Senate can figure out how to do anything.
Yeah.
So, but we'll see. But it's just killing me. There's so much. I don't know. I just don't know. Okay. Oh, by the way.
Hey, by the by.
There's a problem I want to ask you about, and it has to do with super intelligence. Okay.
Oh boy.
Super intelligence.
Well, I don't know why the hell you would ask me about that. I don't even have reasonable intelligence.
Okay. Well, there's a thing in artificial intelligence publications. A notion, and it has a nickname called the paperclip apocalypse. Okay. And this involved, there was a guy named Nick Bostrom, I think, who wrote an article about this, and he said that the paperclip apocalypse, and it goes like this. It says it involves a random engineer creating an AI that has only the goal of making paperclips. That AI, that artificial intelligence, then becomes super intelligent, and in the single-minded pursuit of paperclip making, ends up appropriating all of the world's, and maybe the universe's, resources. In the process, it wipes us out, perhaps because it sees us as being a threat to its paperclip making goals. It is super intelligent, so the assumption is that it can find a way to do all of this.
Come with me if you want to live.
And so anyway, they're trying to figure out a way to, how do you give a artificially intelligent entity a set of incentives or, you know, instruction, you know, motivating is that would, and how do you have any idea how in its interaction with environments that would evolve? You really wouldn't. Assuming there was an optimizer, kind of, you know, like in this artificial net, you're building an optimizer. How do I find, you know, a better alternative than the one which just broke my left leg. That kind of thing, you know.
Is there any way we could do this again without the crunching of my femur?
Anyway, the paperclip apocalypse. It's the thesis behind Terminator, really.
Yes, right? It is.
You know, kind of thing.
Yeah, I know. I have heard it before, and you know, it's certainly a frightening proposition, especially when the Japanese are building such sex bots, which is frightening.
Wait a minute, they're building sex bots?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa, you mean a mechanical lover?
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. 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 I'm not going to identify the person who thought of this.
Jesus.
But a friend of mine said, you should invest in four or five of them, buy a house, and have it be a brothel, and just, you know, charge by the hour. You'd be
well, there you go. Here. Okay, that's true. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Handle this twisted, sick, broken, immature, you know, predatorial behavior is, hey, come on out to the electric house.
Oh, man, we'll fix you right up.
Yeah. don't go in there, man.
Would you stop making that whirring noise?
I'm still, hey, man, you can't go in that room. We're waiting on the upgrade. Software hasn't been upgraded.
Anyway.
Not even the least bit funny.
Not really, I know. It's really
kind of awful.
But
kind of awful. And I'm not implying, you know, the person who told me this, a very elevated thought process in terms of the type of bots they would purchase would run the gambit.
Well, you know, these copulating cows, you know, 24 hours a day. Don't tell me they haven't thought about how to apply that into the human marketplace. Oh, man. Cow attack.
Oh, my God.
Just did back to black.
Oh, yeah. Hey, everybody, we're coming up on the top of the hour, 7 a.m. here Thursday at the News Turn Cafe. It's November 16th. Our call-in line is 304-885-0708. Feel free to call in. Your original dusty-footed philosopher and host, Mr. John Case, and his sometime sidekick, wow, I think he's horrible. Mike something. He's
Mike
kind of a
Diesel
dick.
Is my good friend, and he's donated his talents to the show. Without the various folks that he brings into this program, we would have a much narrower conversation. But
hey, congratulations to our Washington Nationals pitcher Max Scherzer for once again winning the Cy Young in the National League.
Oh, fantastic. Cool.
Won the Cy Young Award
again. Oh, cool.
So,
cool.
Going to be interesting to see how the last time they hired a young skipper, it didn't work out so well, but I think probably they're thinking, you know, they gave the guy a 3-year deal. It's not a whole lot of money, but Davey Martinez is a different kind of guy. You know, he's a hands-on guy. He's very much involved with his players, so we'll see. I mean, he's had some success both with Tampa and with the Chicago Cubs, obviously, being the bench coach there for Joe Maddon in both situations. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how this team reacts to a younger skipper. And not taking anything away from Dusty Baker, who I admire and respect and love. I'm going to miss him. I thought.
Well, okay. So, any word on the stars? I mean, like Daniel, what's his name, and Murphy, and what's his name?
Murph's got this year in his contract, and that's it. And then you've got Murphy. You know, Worth is gone. Jason Worth is gone.
Yeah,
you know,
right. Yeah.
Find another team. I'm certain. I would hope maybe the Learners would consider keeping him on and giving him, you know, 1-year extensions. But I don't think that's going to happen. That's just pie in the sky. I think if he can, I think he wants to go more to the American League, where he can just be relegated to pinch hitter. he doesn't really, I don't think, want to be an everyday player because he's just had so much wear and tear on his body. You know, he's not a young guy. He's an older guy. He's been around the league a long time. And I thank him, and he was one of my favorite Washington Nationals, and I appreciate everything he did for the organization. He was a real cool guy. Just a cool guy. Just you know, my wife asked me this morning who is my favorite Washington National, and I had to say Rendon.
Well, really?
Oddly enough, who you never see doing any commercials. Yes.
Why is he your favorite?
Look at his act, because he doesn't like to be interviewed. He doesn't like to sell products. He's not involved in baseball when it's not baseball season, but when it is, it. There's no bullshit with the guy. You know, and he plays a mean hot corner, and he is an excellent hitter. He has what I would call some of the strongest, fastest wrists and wrist swings I've ever seen. I've never seen anybody be able to check their swing better. And he is consistently over a 300 hitter. Hard to find a third baseman that's consistently over a 300 hitter every year he's played.
Now why is that true of a third baseman?
I don't know, but through the league, there's not, you know, he probably is on par to be in the top two or three every year in hitting.
Huh.
Top two or three third baseman.
Top two or three third baseman, or just top two or three?
Top two or three third baseman, top five or six in the league.
I got you. Okay.
So, you know, he's made some, you know, he made some mistakes. There's no question about that. He's made some mistakes. He's had some errors, but they were few. If you count the number of errors he's had, he's actually right there with Nolan Arenado, who everybody says is the greatest baseball player of all time. Is one of the better younger players in the league from the Colorado Rockies. If you do a side-by-side comparison, they're very close in every category. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I the guy makes me laugh because he smiles all the time. He doesn't yell at the umpire if he gets a bad call. He just kind of looks at him and rolls his eyes and goes, okay, I'll have to get him next time.
No, I know. It's
you know, he's not a crazy guy. I mean, I have a lot of respect for Daniel Murphy, and Daniel Murphy has proven that he can actually play second base a lot better than anybody thought he could.
Well, he's a solid hitter, boy.
Oh, there's no question about that. One of the best hitters in the league. Now, you know, there's all kinds of things this is baseball talk for the next few minutes, folks. So if you're not interested, you know, switch to something else. But I'll say this. One of the interesting and glaring things that I think everybody being the fan base, you can't just go with a gut feeling all the time. And one of the problems was they put Max Scherzer in, I think, in the seventh inning.
Right.
Or the fifth inning in that playoff game. And it was a close game. And, you know, the Cubs ended up knocking in four runs off of him. And nowhere did anyone put in Tanner Roark. And Tanner actually, overall, has better numbers against, you know, it's one of the things he caught a lot of grief over. And he also used a very young, inexperienced player to pinch hit when he could have used somebody else. He used Nick Robles, who struck out. And he used him twice in the playoffs. And a lot of people would tell you that was a really bad move.
Huh.
Those are two very glaring managerial mistakes that weren't about the numbers. That were more about Dusty's gut feeling. You know what I mean? So, Davey, it's one of the things he said. Davey Martinez is more into the sabermetrics. He's more into looking down at the sheet in front of him and saying, okay, well, this is a bad matchup.
Let's go with the data rather than your gut, huh?
Well, yeah, I think he's more apt to. It's not that he's not going to go with his gut, but I think he's going to value the data a hell of a lot more, is what I'm saying. So, you know, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, that's, you know, one of the theses of Daniel Kahneman's Nobel Prize winning work, you know, on slow versus fast thinking and how frequently we miscalculate the value of going by the gut, you know, or intuition. And its error rate is very high.
Right.
Yeah, and in real life, you know, so it's
right.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. You're talking to somebody who probably shouldn't have gone to this.
Well, I mean, there's many decisions in life that you do not have the time to think it through slowly, okay, and carefully. And so you have to go with your gut in some cases. I mean, that's all you got in some area, yeah, intuition. And but the question is that, well, there are, when you have the opportunity to slow down, you'll learn more. take a deeper look. Take the deeper look, you know.
My father used to call that putting your mind in neutral.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put your mind in neutral, relax, and do the job. Think about what you're doing as you're doing it, but don't overthink it.
Yeah, you got it.
It's very effective. I mean, especially for a kid like me whose mind is just constantly.
That's right. I mean, they probably considered putting one of those horse blinders on you just to keep you from looking from side to side, right? They probably thought about that.
Damn
for
it,
a while.
John, how did you know? Wilbur.
You look like the hand, you know, the kind of a short and, you know, square,
yeah, I need you to,
a version,
Mike, I
of
need
the
you to
Handmaid's Tale there.
Hey, Mike, I need you to do this, this, and this, and let's get started right. Look at that chandelier! Shut up! Pay attention!
Right, exactly. Can't you keep your mind? Boy! Something wrong with you?
Oh, the old... My father's favorite phrase when he would get mad at me is...
Oh, I say, oh God, yeah.
That.
Where is my child killing machine? Where is it? I had it one around here.
You know, he said that before he even heard of Cosby, anything about Cosby. He said, you know, the police brought you. You realize? We actually didn't want you, but you know.
Yeah, right.
We're good people, so count your blessings.
Boy, all these guys that have been ruined, Cosby, Judge Roy Bean, I mean, Judge Roy Moore.
Roy Bean. What? Where'd that come from? What the hell was that about?
I was having a poem.
Old man alert. Judge Roy Bean. What?
Judge Roy Bean.
Where are we?
the only law west of the Pecos.
Is this storytelling hour? Is this the most... Where am I?
Have a little bear pie, man. Judge Roy Bean. The Judge Roy Bean bear pie.
That's a special.
Those of you who may recall, that Judge Roy Bean did have a pet, a bear as a pet.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a fascinating video on Facebook that I just saw, speaking of that, with a Native American somewhere in the high country with a bear, just patting the bear and petting him, and the bear just loving it, and you know, getting the guy's clothes with his teeth, but not pulling, you know, patting him with his the talons, the claws on that bear, they looked like they were 9 feet long.
Oh yeah, man, it was like one of those like Jason bears.
But the guy just was happy. The bear was so happy, it was like, wow. And I'm just thinking, get out of there.
Have you seen have you seen the Jason bear prowling around the neighborhood, by the way?
I have not.
No. Has genetically enhanced claws.
Really?
Yes. Be careful.
Really?
Are you
sure you're not talking about the Freddy Krueger bear?
Yeah, well, maybe. Okay, Freddy Krueger bear. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I get him and Jason mixed up.
again. You remember in the movie Star Lord of the Rings?
Starflake. Starflake.
When Han Solo was beating up Frodo, remember? No, that wasn't it. Wait, no. Well, I used to go over to Shelbyville and I tie an onion to my belt. I'm sorry.
I don't know who that guy is, but you know his remarks are out of order.
You are out of order, sir. How dare you?
He's not
allowed. Well, if you've learned anything on the show today, you've probably learned nothing. So I'm sorry for you.
Yeah, I know. Well, I had a thought a minute ago, but now it's gone. It's just you've distracted me completely.
Disappearing thoughts.
I mean, I had something important to somewhere down there, but it was lost in the cow attack. What it was the thread got left behind, and that's what we do here in the Moose Territory. I mean, our conversation is sometimes, matter of fact, frequently meander down. Arcane paths. Our conversations.
What
the hell are you doing? Is there a fly in your... Hey, you got something in your teeth.
Squirrel!
Oh, Lord.
No, Marcus, it's okay. Marcus, collect Marcus!
No, man.
Now I'm going to have to... I got to wait all day for him to come back. He's afraid of squirrels.
Well, yeah. that's kind of cute, actually, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, he's an odd creature. By the way, for those of you that don't listen to the program, go ahead, John, tell them.
This is the Moose Turd Cafe. And
No. About Marcus. Tell them about Marcus.
Mike has a dragon named Marcus that... Yes. I don't know where his hoard of gold is. Maybe it's Mike's heart.
I don't think he's. I think he was thrown out of his kingdom.
He may have been. Something happened.
He's not into gold, man. He's just not.
He's not into gold?
No.
I thought there was some kind of like fueling or
well,
like.
Well, I was falling down, stinking drunk, some years ago. On my second bottle of bourbon, I think in tears, and I was getting ready to throw the bottle because it was empty. So I didn't have any use for it anymore, and I threw it, and it just disappeared. And then I looked up, and, you know, I sobered up rather quickly because, you know, this two-story tall creature appeared.
Wow.
Scales and, you know, a big long tail, and it he just kind of chewed on the bottle and purred at me. Weird. I was no longer scared. I thought I was done, man. I really thought I was done. I thought that was it. I'm done. I'm going to be fricassee for this guy. So, and turns out not so much.
By the way, I take it you were not one of the bidders on the highest-selling art auction ever.
No.
Salvatore Mundi, World Savior, Leonardo da Vinci, sold for a record $450.3 million at auction.
Good times. Good times.
It's not yet known who the buyer is or who the seller was. I love it. It's just, God.
Somebody better wander down to Arkansas and look around the Walmart, the Walton family's property. Because there's one guy in that family that loves that jet set lifestyle, baby. Buys a lot of sports cars, a lot of property overseas.
Yeah, man.
And loves artwork. And you know, it's the organization that, you know, especially if you look at the video from Salina, Ohio, that loves to throw out food. Especially food that, you know, hasn't expired.
I suppose if you reveal, the argument is if you reveal who you are, you'll become a target for art thieves. But I think that's a lie. I think the real reason is if they knew who you were, they would know who to tax. Where you're going to hide it. Well, I live in the country of Jersey, in the middle of the English Channel. I have a wonderful home there. It's about the size of a post office box.
Hey, hold on a second here.
The man that can't be named.
Talking about Jersey. Stop it! That's a cop! Listen, you can't talk about Jersey like that. Don't bring Jersey up in a negative kind of fashion, because quite frankly, I'm sick of it, all right? I heard you do it before. Don't do it again.
Why? My wife is from Jersey. We love Jersey.
I don't give a shit where anybody's from. Shut your mouth. Don't talk about it negatively, or you're going to see me, and you know what I said about that before. Yeah. You don't want to see me. I got to go later.
Oh, boy. It's threatening today.
Why would that...
He's the man with no name.
Mm-hmm.
But when I say that, I keep thinking he looks like Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, I don't know the man with no name. I don't think he looks like that. People would assume that, he's a velour sweatsuit wearing, obviously. Sicilian.
Couple of million, right.
Kind of, but I don't think so. I think that guy is just, I think he might be a couple of different nationalities, and he's just scary.
That's
whatever
right.
Genetic mix,
right.
Put that together, is frightening.
Yeah, that's a good one, yeah. Right.
I think he's probably like 6'5".
I don't know.
Moves rather smoothly,
I was talking to him about his favorite style of lovemaking. All of a sudden, he said, "Allah Akbar."
What? Where did that? Okay. All right. please reserve all your phone calls and emails to John Case.
Now,
host
at enlightenradio.org.
Host at enlightenradio, because you can find that, and don't bug me about that last comment that was made.
Okay. All right. I know. It's a little off beat. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Speaking of a little off beat, despite the ability of the orange ass grabber fart cloud in chief to spew his many successes, there have been none. There have been no successes. None.
Well, I mean, yeah, really, there's not much to say, is there? Except it's gaslighting from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Well, they're trying to do this. We should not let another moment pass without highlighting this incredibly dangerous tax bill that's in Congress and that the Republicans are trying to pass. There's been some defections. I think the current incarnations of the various parts of the resistance are focused on that. If you can get it's, don't assume that it's a waste of time, to call, Shelley Moore Capito and Mooney.
Oh, no,
okay.
I'm not going to. I'm going back to phone calls, even though they have
disgusted me personally, both of them.
Allow me to say this to the resistance. You got to rise up. You got to rise up.
I like that. But they count all the time. They're counting, what the pressure they're getting from whatever their other constituency is, their little fascist groupings around the Republican Party, and ordinary citizens and what they're saying. Okay, if they can, separate it out, they know who all the they know the numbers that call repeatedly from one political perspective or another. But that's okay.
The count has to go up. I got a call. Let me call you right back.
All right, buddy, man. Okay, well, Mike got off the phone there for a minute, and we're going to continue on with our little moose turd.
All right, I missed it.
I'm sorry, man. Was it important?
No, it wasn't anything crucial. I missed it. When will then be now? You missed it. When? Just then.
You came back awful quick there, boy. Wow. You never dropped the connection.
Yeah, it was a couple of beeps that I didn't recognize the number, and then I did, and by the time I recognized the number, it was too late.
I see.
One of those things.
I see.
Offshoots of advanced technology that we have.
There we go. Well, we're coming up here on the holiday season.
What?
Thanksgiving week is next week.
Oh, yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah, it's next week. Yeah, next Thursday.
And most likely, families are going to be gathering. I expect there's going to be another mass murder. Now I am back to my fear. I've been thinking this for almost 24 hours. Maybe I even mentioned it briefly yesterday. Mike, you got to help me. You have to help me about this.
Okay.
I'm now questioning whether or not the mass shootings are not a Jason Bourne style conspiracy. Programmed people, who are on the edge, who are, turned on. I mean, you take these shooters, each one of them, and you take all the attributes that kind of give you some sort of pattern of their behavior, at least all the ones you know about. And you could go out and find 100 other people that have the same attributes, but that don't go blowing 100 people away, or 50 or 20, whatever, okay? They don't do that. And so, and then we keep having them, and it's all the time. It just spreads chaos. Everyone's scared to death. The gun sales go up. It causes everybody to go nuts. And maybe there is something going on here.
John, get off that ledge. Okay.
I'll leave it by the side of the road there.
That is a product of the availability of these guns to consistently and constantly fall into the wrong hands. And until we get that right, this is going to continue. Until we understand that we cannot, a free society is a free society, okay? But you cannot continue the way we're going, because all you're going to see is more of this. And how many more excuses are going to be made by legislators to not legislate, to not do their damn job?
Oh, shit.
Because there are a lot of different ways that we have discussed on this program to handle this issue, to move forward with this issue without impeding anybody's Second Amendment rights, which, by the way, when they quote the Second Amendment, they bastardize it every time.
Sure.
They warp it and obfuscate so that they might continue to sell their weapons.
Judge Roy Bean would favor Armin Bears.
Can't I just get some frickin' lasers on sharks' heads? Is that so impossible?
Yeah, right. I need some advanced weapons here.
We certainly could do better. That's the thing, is we can do better.
You think it's possible to exercise mind control over fish?
Where did this...
What if we had control of all the fish in the sea?
Oh, God. I don't know, John. I don't know.
See that crab running towards your feet?
And then when Kim calls in with his weather machine, I said, you got that. Yes. Guess what I got?
Yes, exactly. You may want to look on your borders. There's some sharks massing. There was a fascinating discovery, I think. I know that there was some... I didn't read it all in detail, but there was a shark, an odd shark, that's head is shaped like a snake. It was really, really big, big shark as well. But it was very, very long, and it had
was it a deeper
kind of a cobra? Kind of a cobra. Yes, it was a deep dweller.
Ah, right.
But yeah, they had a couple of divers, I think, found it and took pictures.
It's amazing how those immense pressures don't completely suppress life. I mean, they, you know, your life form just sort of adapt physically to somehow to.
Yeah.
Live in that environment.
Just like us humanoids are going to have to learn to adapt in extreme weather.
Well, that's true. Well, we don't know that. I mean, that's just science talking, and everyone knows that science is...
it's applied by the Chinese.
Yeah, right. Well, it's winning, dude. The Chinese are eating your lunch.
Winning, please, Mr. President. Too much winning. Winning, winning.
No, you're not winning anything. How could you win anything? If you won it, it would just dribble down your leg.
Steve here.
Hi, Steve. Hey, man. How's the party shift doing, man? How's it going?
It's absolutely not tremendous. It's certainly we are going the way I fear that we are going the way of the Whigs, Mr. Case. I don't subscribe to this ridiculous nationalism that's just faux nationalism and this horrible populism. And I actually don't believe the president accomplished anything at all. He had an opportunity to get some things done, and he did not do them.
Well,
so this is a real problem moving forward for myself and my party. I'm going to have to speak with my wife, and we are considering leaving the Republican Party.
Have you talked to Melania about any of this?
I have never spoken to the First Lady. Never.
Would you talk to Melania without your wife being present?
I don't see that as an issue.
Okay. Just testing you, sir. Every day. Nowadays,
John,
we have to...
John, your program today has gotten very, very weird, and I'm going to leave.
By
the way, everybody, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour.
Dream
this is
on,
the
everybody.
Announcer guy to announce we're coming up on the bottom of the hour here at the Moose Turd Cafe. We've almost concluded our whole hour. By the way, our call-in line is 304-885-0708. I don't know why I say it, because nobody ever calls it. With your original Dusty from the Philosopher and Host, Mr. John Case here at enlightenradio.org, 304-885-0708. And his sometime sidekick,
Mike Diesto, my good friend and cohort here in this crime. Well, we've wandered around Kelly's barn here a few times, and as they used to say in Vermont.
Yes, we have.
And Case has demonstrated that he's as old as Hogan's goat.
I don't see no cows I like, John.
We'll have to get a recording of Baxter Black doing the cow attack story. That is a funny
one. I'm going to have to buy me some cows I like, John. By the way, this is Cooter, and John told me I could close the show today.
Ha! Cooter, I thought you were...
My brother Cletus. Brother Cletus stabbed himself in the eye with a hatchet.
Whoa, man. Cooter and Cletus.
That's right, buddy.
Hey, Cooter, you sure you didn't weren't really named Scooter? Did your mom just drop a little letter there for you?
Hey, man, don't disparage my father. My father's name was Scooter.
Scooter, Cooter.
Talk about my daddy. About to go back there in the lean-to and wake his ass up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see. Where's it?
I tell you what. I'm going to go out and load my gun right now. I'm coming to your property, boy.
Why don't you come on over? I got some pancakes, man. Come on.
Yeah. All right. I like pancakes. I'm gonna get my sorry ass over there. I just got to get out the lean-to. Bye.
Got some maple syrup, too. Come on, buddy. Yeah.
God. Cooter and Cletus and Scooter.
Cooter and Cletus coming over for breakfast.
Scooter, Boar, his offspring. Cletus and Cooter.
It's like the Dunwich.
And Cooter, as you know, is just Scooter without the S.
Oh, it's like the Dunwich horror.
It's really very,
you know, when you good. When you find out when Wilbur Whately's other brother come down someday and you see him, you'll find out he from the other side.
This program has gotten very weird.
He's from the other side.
Oh, by the way,
yep.
I would like to say something.
Go ahead.
This is going to be a cutaway that you're going to want to use.
All right, man.
It's got some inappropriate language, so I'm warning you if you're listening now.
Well, I mean, I think on this program that we've dipped into that little well several
times.
This is just a
nice little... I want to thank all of the listeners who've engaged in listening to Enlightened Radio. We can't thank you enough. And by the way, America, wake the fuck up! Thank you.
That's very nice. That's very nice. Okay, well I'm going to clip that one, man. Okay. All right, buddy. I guess we're done for today. Take care of yourself, buddy. And
thank you, sir.
Thanks for talking to you, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Always.